问题。
Okay. So we'll start off with a quick overview of the minutes. I think to sum up the last meeting would be to say the requirements that we've set out. Those are, we were going to go for what seemed to be a fairly minimal design based on a small joystick, LCD, and a couple of other buttons for navigation and power being, I suppose, one of the main single purpose buttons. We were also going to use the novelty of being able to locate the remote control again via a small transmitter that went up to be able to try and separate us. And also, because of the minimal design, it looks like we'll be able to be fairly adventurous in the actual physical shape of our remote control and lock. This sums up the last one. So we'll just crack on. I'd like to maybe start with the industrial designer, if it's possible. This meeting is the conceptual design phase, and is to cover things like what parts might be made of, can we outsource these from elsewhere, will we have to construct the items ourselves?
I have a presentation here, if I just say at the end of
it. Yeah, okay, I'll just load it up then. Which one? Interface concept?
That's me.
That's you. We've got Ken watching, that's
Components design?
Components design.
So, the case, well, that's for the road, first of all, it could be plastic, hard plastic. But later on, we found out that it can be rubber as well, or titanium, or even wood. So, it just said that it's going to be probably plastic. We need the infrared transmitter, get that off the shelf. Joystick, we'll probably, if we're going to use it, could be plastic or rubber even as well. If you go on to the next slide, if you go on to findings, it's about two or three slides down. Right, so this is what I found we can use. Three different types of batteries can either use a hand dynamo, or the kinetic type ones, you know, that they use in watches, or else a solid ground one.
The kinetic one,
because
that's the ones where like the movement
causes
it. The battery for a watch would require a lot of power. Would be my one query: is a kinetic one going to be able to supply enough power?
But then watch moves around a great deal more. Yeah, I don't think it would. And solar cells, I don't know about that.
What do you mean solar?
Should probably just use conventional batteries. Just like a new remote controls.
Which I suppose as well would allow us to go off the shelf again, you'd say?
Yeah. These are three different types of shapes you can have. One is a flat one, and then more original ones are a single curved one or one with a double curve. The materials are there, as you can see, but you can't have titanium with a double curve.
Titanium is a really strong metal.
Yeah.
Is it
also
expensive?
I think so as well. They like metal blocks in that. So it's really large,
curious. I don't know if you'd be able to off the top of your head or not. The single curved and double curved. Would you be able to give an example? Could you maybe draw something? It doesn't have to be perfect. It's just because I'm not quite sure if I understand the difference between the two.
curved, well, I was thinking for to sit in your the palm of your hand, maybe like this with the joypad here, joystick here, and maybe an okay button around here so that the thumb can use it quite easily. I don't exactly double curved. It probably means this is probably double curved. Whereas a single curve would be like that, I guess. Perfect. So.
So it might literally just be
two curves.
Okay.
Yeah, that, whereas this is two curves. So I guess that's what they mean by double curve. Which else, it looks better than a single curve, but you can't have it in titanium. And for the buttons, you can have the scroll wheel which they use in mouses for PCs, but it requires a more expensive chip to use, and if you want to use LCD, it's even more expensive. So it's trade-offs there. If you want the buttons to be, if you had a double curve control and it's rubber, then you have to use rubber buttons as well. But I reckon you're gonna have to have a number keypad anyway. For the amount of channels these days, you wouldn't want to just have to scroll through all the channels to get to the one you want. Imagine just the numbers, if you know it. So I reckon you're gonna have to have a number keypad anyway.
Something we can pluck about. So you've got a little bit about the chip that you might require as well.
Yeah. So depends where can I spend the money if you want a fancy LCD display.
Do you have any idea so far? When we're saying that we need a batch chip for an LCD, does that shoot the cost up by a drastic amount? Or
you need an advanced chip for the LCD? Is that the
Well, I think compared
yeah.
to, say, this pressing of buttons.
Advanced, like
if you press
a
button,
it
sends a certain transmission through the infrared, whereas if we're controlling the LCD, you can definitely require a much more powerful chip. Just compared to the chip you would use for pushing buttons.
Okay.
It's going to be made if I've not overstepped.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I go on or go back?
If we only have £12 50, €12, not even £12, €4 was that like £8 or something like that?
Well, we'd also be relying on the bulk buying and producing and such.
Okay, that's
I assume we have to look into the cost of it.
The previous slides just explain what's in the internal components of the remote control. If you go to the one before that, so it just says what it does. Translate the key press into an infrared signal, and this is received by the TV. The chip just needs to detect the signal, or detect the key press, and then it's sent to the amplifier.
Okay.
And then the next slide just shows how copper wires interact with the buttons, the rubber buttons, to get sent to the chip. So that's just how the control works inside. We decide on what buttons we're going to use.
So in the information that you've been supplied, how feasible would you say the idea of using an LCD looks?
I think we can do it if we use conventional batteries and not have solar cells or kinetic. single curved case, because you might need it to be curved for the thumb to use the joystick easily. And then you'll need the advanced chip, the Super ESP.
I mean, that sounds like quite a good requirement to me. Dimensional barcode seems to make sense. I'm not sure if there's any cost differences between single and double curved, and I don't know about anybody else, but plastic or rubber as a traditional form of casing would seem to be a good way forward.
I'm actually gonna be more than go straight for rubber, for reasons going
okay.
to.
I was gonna have a purpose for rubber.
Okay, well,
based on my reasons.
Yeah, well, will we move on to user interface and. Yeah?
Okay.
Sorry, as long as we need.
Yep,
yeah,
okay.
Okay. Interface concept.
Yeah. I'm going to have to work between the slides and and the whiteboard, because I have some very concrete things. This time, I was given an HTML file giving various ideas from other previous remote control designs, and pretty much decided to just dump them all. I wasn't very impressed by them, and they didn't seem to nothing I saw seemed to meet the sort of design specifications that we're going for today. So rather than looking at other remotes, it would be better to simply look at the human hand and try and figure out a way of laying out the elements we've already decided on, so that the fingers, each finger or thumb is wherever it needs to be already. Next slide, if you please. And what we basically decided on was the joystick, two function buttons, and the LCD. Just keep it pared down to the absolute minimum. I don't actually think we need the numeric keypad, because one of the menus that we could have available via the LCD is one where you scroll through channels. So if there's something, and bear in mind, since this isn't meant to work for digital or for cable or whatever, you're basically looking at four or five terrestrial channels, and then the channel for your VCR and or DVD player and or set top box. So it's not I'm not really excessively concerned about that. And so I have two modes: basic mode, where the joysticks left right for channels, up down for volume, and menu mode for further functions. And the reason I was particularly interested in using rubber for this is if we're going to have a highly ergonomic design, it needs to be ergonomic for left or right-handed people.
Now you just jump in slightly there.
Mm-hmm.
That would suggest that double curve design is probably going to be most appropriate then.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
What this is going to be having, I would say the whole thing articulated at two points, so that if you're handing it from a left or right hand user, you can adjust it so that the LCD and the joystick would be in the right place. Also, this is a rather nicer design gimmick. The whole thing it should have sort of organic feel to it, because it should be soft to touch and can be moved around. Oh, nice. Onto the next slide.
Just to let you know, we'll probably be quite tight for time as well.
Okay.
Because I think you've probably got a lot you'd like to say, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, basically, assuming the hand to be in a sort of this position, Holding the remote, the joystick unit should rest over the joint of the forefinger, so it's directly accessible for the thumb. And it would need to be articulated just below that so that it could be switched around for left or right-handed users. So. Then have the grip section that can be more or less the same irrespective of handedness. You just have two big buttons that cover most of the area, so it can in the upper part, one for the forefinger, one for the middle finger.
Is this a joystick?
This part here is the joystick. This would be the actual grip. Probably where you want to have the battery as well.
Okay.
That would be probably the bulkiest part. And you then have at the bottom the LCD, and this would need to be articulated as well. And basically I want it to rest here right at the base of the wrist, so it would fit just nicely in the hand. And again, this part could be rotated so it can. So that it can be adjusted to either left or right-handed user. So the top function button in basic mode would be the off switch, and menu mode would be the enter button, and then the bottom function button switches between modes. Now programming it, actually this is one thing I found with the replacement remote controls, programming them can be a right pain. So I thought the simplest way of that would be to have a cable to connect it to the computer, some fairly or some fairly simple software on the computer, so that you, on your home computer, just so that you could program it in a rather more comfortable interface, and you could download programs for it for TVs from all the main manufacturers, though. It would be necessary to have a mode for programming it without the computer, just in case there are still people left out there who don't have them yet.
Together my research, two basic methods. We compared what would people want the remote control to do a lot of stuff, but they want it to look cool. And then we research our fashion trends in Europe. What's the new black, as it goes. Next slide. We found in order of importance, people want the remote control to look cool more than they want it to be cool, as in they want it to do a lot of good stuff. They want it to look like it does a lot. And if it does do a lot, that's a bonus, but they don't care so much, you know. They want it to be, that sounds a bit like a contradiction. Technologically innovative. People want it to be that, but still, they care more about the way it looks than what it does. So like the interface is really important. And easy to use. It just so happens that from the second point to the third point is twice as important. I mean, the second point is twice as important as the third point. People want it. It has to be cooler than easy to use. You know, if it has the newest features, even if it's difficult to use, to prefer it to have the newest features. And if it's easy to use, that's a bonus. The fashion, now this seems a bit odd to me, but fruit and veg is the new black for furniture, for clothes, for shoes. How that relates to a remote control, I don't know. But I see, I'll come on to that in the next slide. Spongy, I've been saying everything is the new black, but spongy is the new black as well. So we have the choice between rubber and plastic. If it's a type of rubber that you can squeeze, you know, it's spongy, then that's good for it.
I mentioned that the rubber material is like stress ball material,
okay,
not just normal rubber.
Okay, so kind of spongy material. So,
okay.
So my personal opinion, using some advanced and technologically innovative, obviously, but what we need is something that looks like it's from the future, that looks cool, that's different, you know, that's, everyone has a white remote control, black remote control, you need something cool. Like, titanium is cool, but it's expensive, and maybe it's a bit of overkill for a remote control. Now the fruit and veg options, either we go in that direction or we stay totally away from it. Yeah. I mean, the research did come up with fruit and veg, so maybe it is important. Is the up to the interface guy. So if we stay away from it, you know, stay away from it. But if we're gonna go along with it, then it doesn't necessarily have to be like an apple or something like that, or a kiwi fruit. It can be something like, I say potato peel, but I'm sure you guys have a much cooler idea than I do. So I think cool is the key. Few questions about a spongy remote control. I've never seen one before. I've seen plastic remote controls. I think maybe they were, I don't know, back in the day when they first came up with remote controls, they had a reason for it being sturdy, you know, for being strong and sturdy. So if we want something strong and sturdy, I say stay with plastic or titanium. But if we go with spongy, we can stress that you can drop this as many times as you want. It doesn't matter, it's spongy material, it's not going to break, you know. I just don't know how the LED and the lights are going to fit into a spongy material, because it's not going to be completely squeezable. So how do things fit in? And if we are going to use spongy, we can say it's long lasting, you know, it's damage resistant and stuff like that. So just to summarize, people want stuff that's cool, that looks like it's cool. And if it is cool, then that's a bonus, but it doesn't have to be. People like fruit and veg. We can either go down that alley or stay totally away from it. People like spongy material, if we're going to use spongy material, we have to think of how practical it is and how we can further promote that idea. And also, this was this year, so things change all the time, every year. You know, they always talk about this year, this is the new black, or next year, something else is going to be the new black, and we're stuck with last year's fruit and veg type stuff. Okay, that's me.
Well, I would say that the most you could probably hope for is gaining years later than most people anyway. You always have to bring out new designs, so if we can get next year, then that's possibly a good place to start anyway. Seems like a lot of the components could be off the shelf, so I don't know exactly what cost would be incurred. I can see your point about the numbered keypad, but I would say we can probably incorporate it into the menu system if you need to do traversal of a large number of channels. My feeling would be that even if at a later date this was to be taking control of set-top boxes as well, and using the LCD and the joystick would probably allow you to manipulate enough channel numbers for you to be...
Actually, if you've got a lot of channels, the numbered keypad can be quite annoying as well, because if you're trying to remember what numbers the discovery channel are doing.
That's a good point. You can incorporate names.
But if you have a menu structure, then you can subgroup.
Okay.
So
even news, music, like you do on the Sky Digital. Kind
So what it looks like to me is we'll use a large number of standard components. Say something like lithium-ion battery, the kind that you find in most small handheld devices now. Looks like we're going for a double curve design. I don't know what cost implications there are in that. Looks like we're pretty much decided on some kind of flexible rubber. But I have to say, depending on how flexible it is, we might need to have some kind of inner frame.
Yeah, I would say definitely. I mean, the idea of having it sort of articulated, there would be basically two points of articulation. One below and one above the main sort of grip.
you think there's any way we could maybe remove the articulation? I can see why it looks appealing, but it could be a weak point in the structure, do you think? That would be a worry of mine.
You're going to third impression. Looks like a banana.
I don't think it would be a structural weakness. I mean, if you have a firm substructure, you can then incorporate articulation into that. If you then have a sort of outer skin of flexible, spongy rubber, then you have something that is very much organic. Rather cool. I mean, my drawing there just doesn't do it justice, basically. Makes it look a little more like a vibration than a remote control, but
yeah, we won't have that functionality. However, one interesting point is, I don't know how serious you were there, but if we take some of the ideas of a banana, why don't we make the damn thing yellow to incorporate the colour of the logo?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know, it's certainly a different colour from their average.
Make it hard to lose as well.
Was there anything in your research?
The noise for when you lose the banana. When you lose the remote control, real quick. It could be like a monkey noise or something like that, rather than a standard beep. You know, you lose the monkey, the banana. You lose the banana, you press a button, and you hear like a monkey screams or something like that to direct you towards the banana.
I think that's something that could perhaps be programmable. Though we have monkeys to fight.
I was going to talk about the programmable remote control. Now, I think it'd be cool if you had one remote control that can work with all TVs. You know, you click a button and it finds the frequency that works through your particular television.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you need to program it? Like, it's a standard feature, I don't know.
Well, basically, each manufacturer will have a particular command set that the TV responds to.
Yeah.
It's not simply a matter of frequency. So usually what's done is you have this big booklet full of different possible. You'll have all of them sort of programmed into the remote, and you'll have this little booklet of codes.
Mm-hmm.
You then find your find your manufacturer and try the different codes that come under that manufacturer's name until you find the right one.
That's because televisions, they don't give the remote control any type of feedback when you send it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So that's quite annoying, and we probably would still have to do that. But if we had some sort of hookup to your computer as an option, then if you've got a computer, you can avoid that rather irritating thing.
An interesting point is that if the person doesn't have a computer, we can still make the process easier. Because instead of having to look up codes, maybe we can have it that one of the options they have is that they look up the name of the company on the LCD, and then maybe look up different names of the different actual units that have been produced. Or we have the remote control just go through them until it's like, does it see the correct function?
Is it actually a book of names to digits, or is it like a few pages?
Some pages.
I'm just thinking, if we were to store this information in some type of mapping, this person probably need to use this feature like once, you know, when they first buy a remote control, or whenever they buy a new television. So once
it doesn't have to be used very often, that's right.
Yeah.
But it's a nuisance. And it's a nuisance very close to actually purchasing it. So it's something you're likely to be thinking about. If there's one in the shop that says it can avoid much of that nuisance, you might be favourably inclined towards it.
Okay, this just to give us a rough idea of what we're meant to do for the next stage. I'm pretty sure that you got that anyway. This is a conceptual one. I think we've covered everything we need to here. I think we've decided on decided on standard items for most of them, rubber and such. So we're now looking at the detailed design and what we need to be doing for the next meeting. So for example, to start at the top, you've got yourself and the industrial designer going to be working quite closely at this stage, because it'll be hard not to, obviously. Looking for prototyping of some description using clay. I suppose you'll be told a lot more about that as I progress. User interface design. They're kind of, it looks like they're, the idea pushed forward so far is maybe more of a physical one there, whereas possibly be more interested in maybe how the LCD is going to incorporate, do you think? Or do you foresee that most of the design decisions still need to be based on physical layout?
Well, I think other than getting a sort of more aesthetically pleasing form for it, most of the sort of layout design decisions are made, I would say. But then again, the menu structure to a considerable extent is going to vary according to the model of television and also any customizations that the user might wish to incorporate. So one of the nice things about having an LCD and menu structure is that there is that flexibility to it.
That's very true. Product evaluation as well.
Yes, yeah. Some of these things kind of logically follow the others. How could product evaluation, doesn't that come after actually seeing a product prototype?
I think, it would be more a case of how do you envisage us performing the product evaluation once we have a model to test with.
Oh, that's the, okay, sure.
So it would be a case of, do you think that just bringing users in to have them test it out, maybe putting a certain number of products into the field in certain places,
mm-hmm.
which I suppose is quite similar, or just kind of hitting the streets and, you know, saying, this is a new remote control, what do you think it'll look at it?
Okay, sure.
At
this stage, we still have no target audience?
I think the target audience is pretty much anybody under the age of, say, maybe 60 or something like this.
Okay.
And the reason I'm saying that is that we're just looking at a replacement remote control, something that's stylish. So maybe you're even just maybe narrowing down the target audience simply by saying, if they're buying it that often, or they're maybe looking to replace something, then they've got a bit of free cash, so that puts them potentially in the younger age bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even single, just for the reasons of excess cash flow.
Mm.
Although, of course, I mean, at 25 euros, I don't think we're looking at charging here for the device.
Yeah.
As well as the normal bracket. Your idea of the USB, I think, would largely depend on the cost. USB is definitely one of the cheapest interfaces out there, but it might push the cost of the overall unit up, because we require not just the connection, but the chip for communicating with the rest of the system. That one might have been based on
the USB for which? For the remote control?
The idea was that maybe it could connect up for allowing the software interface on the PC for a larger programming, due to the fact that we've gone for such a nice, easy, minimal design normally.
It definitely took in some type of room.
But didn't they just say it's just for TV?
It's just for TV, but for
different
programming it to use your TV, they might put it up to the PC. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking maybe that the additional cost of the USB might be prohibitive,
mm-hmm.
a little more or less. It would make sense.
But you're going to use some type of flash memory or something. Well, something that doesn't, you wouldn't have to redo the whole thing once the battery is changed.
Yeah, I think it would need to have, some sort of onboard memory anyway. For one thing, but I do think that the menu system should be, although, you know, it's not going to be terribly complicated, it's just controlling one device, the menu system ought to be, ought to be customizable.
Different languages, different skins and stuff like that.
Well,
How you want, say, the menu structure for looking through channels.
If it was customizable as in different languages and stuff, that does open. It is supposed to be international, right? So
it would make sense to.
It would make sense to.
And you better be careful about the time as well.
Okay.
We've already had 5 in the morning, so. I would say, yeah, international would make sense. We're going to look at product evaluation. I dashed that right now, walk that. We're going to look a bit more at the kind of the physical makeup. Okay, and it looks like we're going to need to maybe a kind of prototype in play. We'll see how that goes. So, I think we've got an idea of where we need to go for the next meeting, would you say?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the one with the fashion thing, like
the food and beverage.
Is it like spongy over? Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that would be my
I think I'd large on a chance to take care of the whole sort of fruit and veg thing. but the spongy.
We seem to have quite a general consensus of the idea of the rubber could be quite.
Yeah.
Having bright yellow and stuff like that, then maybe we could have options for colours as well.
Yeah.
And I guess it has the advantage of being harder to lose.
Sure. I mean, we are trying to promote a remote control, but we want to keep the company brand as well.
Yeah, so we always need to remember it somewhere when they're getting the slogan on. Possibly, I'm not sure, but I'm seeing a little bit of space around maybe the joystick area which could be used.
Like I said before, I think we should have the RR on the top function button.
Okay, and I think that says it all, really.
I think so too.
Right, see everybody in a half hour.